Hello, ladies. Are you struggling with hair loss? I want you to know you're not alone. Hi, I'm Bambi Staveley, former registered nurse, author, founder of Boost and Blend, and someone who probably just like you has had first-hand experience with hair loss, which is all covered in my latest book, Hair Loss in Women. When I noticed my own hair thinning 15 years ago, I went looking for information and I went looking for products for women, just like you and me. But all I could find out there was products made for men. And most of the information I could find was about male pattern baldness. Well, that's not much help. So I set out to change that. I want to see women with hair loss talking about it and talking to each other, sharing their stories from a place of knowledge. So join me as I meet some courageous women. I'll share some information and we'll learn together on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Hi, and welcome back. If this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, you can listen back to previous episodes if there's something there that you're keen to learn about. We've covered so many topics. We've covered menopause, we've covered illness, and we've actually covered some of the less serious topics like hairbrushing. We've covered washing your hair. So there's lots of interesting things there for you to listen to if you have the time. But today we're going to talk about looking and feeling good with hair loss, which is something that I feel very strongly about. I feel very strongly about the way that we women probably tend to focus a little too much on our hair loss and about how we look because of it. And then following the interview in our Did You Know segment, I'm going to give you some tips on dyeing your hair. Now, I get asked this question a lot. Should I or could I? Is it okay if I dye my hair if I have hair loss? So I'm going to talk about that, what you should use, how you should dye your hair if that's something that you'd like to do. But before we get to that, we're actually going to meet a wonderful woman who's done something many of us have probably thought about or wondered about from time to time, and that is she's actually embraced her hair loss and shaved her head. Now, she says she feels liberated and that she's no longer hiding from her hair loss, which I just think is so wonderful. So I really enjoyed this conversation with Chelsea, and I hope you do too. Hello, Chelsea, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Bambi. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. So tell me about your hair loss. When did you first notice something was wrong?
I first started to notice my hair loss when I was a teenager. I was about 17, 18, and it was after going on a course of Roaccutane and also being on the contraceptive pill to try to manage acne. So I kind of started off with it, you know, as a transition from dealing with acne and having that then replaced, you know, with hair loss, noticing clumps coming out in the shower. Initially, I actually wasn't too fazed by it because I had such thick hair that I thought, oh, actually, this is quite good. I might thin it out a little bit, much more manageable. But then it started to become noticeable in my hairline, and that's where it became a little bit worrying.
Right. And actually, I've heard that quite a lot, that women who have an awful lot of hair often lose hair and then think, oh, this is actually quite useful because it was so hard to manage before. I've heard that quite a few times. But so tell me, you went on the contraceptive pill for acne, which is a very common occurrence. It's not unusual either from my reading and from talking to other women for that to bring on hair loss. It's because of the hormones that are being changed. Hair loss in females is very much governed by hormones, not for everybody, but for some people. So I guess it's very possible that it was the contraceptive pill.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be something that I'll wonder what seemed to trigger it. Was it just a coincidence that it started up after being on some different medications? But I'm still not 100% sure of my diagnosis. I'm in my mid-30s now, so it's been, you know, around 15 years since I've been dealing with hair loss. Initially, the diagnosis was female patterned hair loss or androgenic alopecia, possible chronic telogen effluvium as well, possibly from stress or iron deficiency. That never fully seemed right to me because there was different things that would happen where I'd find, you know, my hair would be regrowing or something would happen and then I'd have a massive shed. And it just, I was on medication for quite some time for androgenic alopecia, about 10 years.
And what medication was that?
It was spironolactone. I can never say the full.
Spironolactone, yep.
Yeah, of that. Minoxidil.
Right.
And then there was like a concoction. It was kind of like a pharmacy kind of built version where it kind of combined both of those and a few other things as well, vitamins and whatnot there. But over those around 10 years, my hair loss just progressed. Sometimes it was quickly, other times it was very slowly. And I kind of sat with that for quite some time, just, I guess, trying to accept that diagnosis and doing what was possible to deal with that. But ultimately, my hair loss was still very visible. It got to the point where I thought, well, I'm taking all this medication. I'm dealing with all these side effects. I was getting migraines weekly, which I didn't actually put down to that medication at the time. I was getting a lot of hair growth where I didn't want it. So I was dealing with not having enough on my head or the top of my head and then having to try to shave like around my chin, cheeks, even my forehead, the back of my hands. And I wasn't seeing any result on my actual scalp. So I ended up getting a biopsy taken to see, well, okay, is there possibly something else going on? Is there possibly another solution for this? And the biopsy didn't show androgenic alopecia or telogen effluvium at all. It showed lichen planopilaris, which is like a scarring alopecia, similar to lichen planus, which you can get in other parts of your body, like inside your mouth, more of an inflammatory or autoimmune type alopecia. And so that was, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to find that on a biopsy after 10 years of trying to manage it, yeah, with my initial diagnosis.
Yeah, right. Well, it seems like there was certainly a lot going on for you. I'm assuming you must have had some diffuse hair loss as well as, so it was generally thinning. Then you had some patches as well, did you?
No patches. So
okay.
I've got, diffuse hair loss all over my scalp. I've also had times where I've lost hair diffusely from my eyebrows and eyelashes as well.
Okay.
And this is where there was definitely some confusion when my biopsy came back. Mm. So I've lost probably about 80% of my hair. So like my ponytail was about the thickness of my pinky, very small, hard to do anything with it, couldn't have it out. Tying it up was really the only option, but it did get to the point where tying it up was quite painful as well because I think everyone knows that feeling of doing your hair in a ponytail and having like a couple of strands snagging and pulling.
Mm. Mm.
But that was basically the constant feeling that I'd have because I had such little hair. To tie it up was quite painful.
So did you have sore follicles? Were your follicles inflamed or red?
Absolutely, yeah. Felt like my head was on fire.
And was that all the way through or did that happen later?
On and off. Definitely had those kind of, that red, raw, itchiness, burning kind of symptoms on my scalp. But definitely, I say towards the end, it's not like my hair loss is finished. But up until a few years ago, obviously I kind of was trying to manage it in a certain way through medications and whatnot. Up until that point, it just got more and more severe.
Well, that can be any number of things, but the inflammation is part of that, or part of the cause of that. But as a young person, and you're still a young person, so when you were, say, in your teenage years, in your early 20s, when looks are so important, how did you cope with that?
Yeah, I would say up until recently I haven't coped with it particularly well. Tried to essentially camouflage it, hide it. Definitely not something I would have spoken to anybody about aside from my immediate family. I think, and I hear a lot of other people, in the hair loss community talk about this too, just, yeah, trying to camouflage it, avoiding anywhere where it could be highlighted. So standing under lights, going swimming, going to the beach, almost convinced myself that it wasn't happening. Something would, you know, suddenly click and change, and it would all be kind of treated and better. It was definitely something that consumed my every day, you know, starting your day with, you know, all that hair coming out in the shower and then trying to camouflage it, you know, get ready for work and the like. It was definitely something that was on my mind constantly, you know, whether it was visible to anybody else or, you know, what was going to happen in the coming weeks or months or years, what was going to happen in the future. Yeah, it definitely interfered a lot with, my day-to-day living.
Yeah, right. Well, which is very understandable. What about toppers or wigs? Did you ever try anything like that?
I did once. So, yeah, probably a few years ago, I made the decision that I wasn't going to be on medication anymore. It didn't seem to be doing anything really for me. It was very visible. Anyway, my hair lost, so I didn't really see the point in, I guess, trying to focus on regrowing it at that point. And I was, yeah, faced with the situation where I thought, okay, well, my options are pretty limited now. My options are really, you know, cut my hair off and go about my day just living it as I am, or look into wearing hair, which is really common for women with hair loss. I did buy a topper to see, well, you know, I might as well give it a try before ruling it out. I found it actually very painful to clip onto my hair, and I might have gotten one too small, but at the same time, even the areas where it wasn't clipped into, just that pressure on my scalp, it was the matting of it down. It just ate. I bought one and I think I wore it for about a day and I thought, this is definitely not for me. And I wondered, well, maybe I could do a full wig. But again, I think that pressure on my scalp would be too much. And I definitely worried about whether it would just slip off as well. So I ended up deciding to just pretty much shave my head. I buzzed it to, I think, a number 3 initially, and now day to day it's just at number 2. So I might shave it or buzz it myself once a fortnight. And that's been me for the last 3 years.
Okay. So there was 10 years on the medication.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. And by the end of that, you were having the side effects. You weren't finding hair growing where you wanted it to. So you stopped that. Did you? I hear of other women who think about doing that too. So what was the thought process for you with this idea of stopping it? Did you slow down? Did you go off it gradually? Did you just wake up one day and go, enough's enough?
I did just go off it in just one moment. I didn't, I just stopped.
And how did you find that?
Liberating in some ways. Stopping the medication was really good in probably a couple of different ways. So firstly, I mean, you have to take these tablets every single day. So on top of being reminded of the hair loss every time I had a shower in the morning, then you're having to, you know, you're having your pill every day. Like, it's just constantly at the front of the mind. So not having to think about it anymore in one sense, but also the cost of the medication, having to see a dermatologist to kind of have the script renewed. And my experience with dermatologists wasn't amazing. I think I left almost every appointment in tears and anxiety. So not going in was, yeah, a great thing for me. And I'm not sure if anyone else feels the same, but often I found the wait time to get in was massive too. So you'd be sitting in the wait room for about an hour and then taking time off work. Stopping medication was great because that removed a whole portion of dealing with the hair loss.
I have to say that I believe that walking out of a doctor's surgery in tears is, dermatologist or any other kind of doctor, when talking about hair loss, is really common. Anything in particular at your appointment that you found traumatic? Was it the person, the doctor himself, or was it something they said? Or,
well, I saw a few different dermatologists over that roughly 10 years. So I think partly frustration, feeling hopeless. You know, there's no cure that I came across anyway. Just talking about it at all prior to shaving my hair off was very emotional for me. It was something I really struggled to talk about. Something that did happen, I guess, prior to me deciding that I was just going to be done with it, I got referred on to a specific dermatologist who was meant to be really high up in the industry, someone very well known, like a guru. If there was going to be any other diagnosis or any other solution, they were going to be the person that would give me some answers. And I went in with all this documentation over things that had worked well, things that didn't, times where I'd had regrowth or like my hair seemed to just stop shedding, you know, for a few months. There's all sorts of things that I recorded, and I went in with that, and he was not interested at all. He just took a glance at me and said, androgenic alopecia. And I thought, well, I'm not really sure what I'm paying for here then, you know.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, I think that that's one of the saddest things for women with hair loss is that particularly male doctors, but not only male doctors, female doctors as well, just use this term androgenic alopecia as a sort of a catch-all without trying to figure out what is the problem. It probably isn't androgens, and therefore it probably isn't androgenic alopecia. It's probably female pattern hair loss, which has many underlying causes and triggers. And it's, I guess, time-consuming, expensive, and you need quite a bit of knowledge to start digging down to figure out what the cause is. So this kind of idea of saying, well, it's androgenic alopecia seems to be the catch-all. The medications are fairly obvious if it's androgen related. And so that sort of ticks the box for a doctor, you know, that's what's causing it. This is the solution. And that's pretty much all they'll say. But I'm sort of shocked really that a high profile dermatologist, somebody who had been built up to be somebody who really does have that knowledge, gave you that comment or gave you that diagnosis. That just seems quite astounding to me, but it probably isn't to many other women out there listening to us talking who have had a very similar experience.
Yeah, it was really disappointing for me, especially just that the biopsy as well was just so discounted. So the biopsy showed the lichen planopilaris. And so the dermatologist that I had been seeing, she was skeptical of that because of having a diffuse pattern of hair loss and not the kind of receding band or the kind of areas of very smooth, hairless kind of spots on my scalp. And so that kind of triggered the referral onto this other dermatologist to be like, oh, let's get to the bottom of this. I did actually try a different treatment that was targeted for lichen planopilaris. It was an ointment that I put on my scalp. And I think for about 3 or 4 months I had no hair loss and I could start to see my hair thickening up. So I did actually think, well, maybe this is correct. Maybe this is my diagnosis. But then I'm not sure, nothing seemed to change or, you know, my life, and it just started to shed again. And I thought, well, I've been given some different diagnoses, but I'm not fully convinced on any of them. And I felt like my years of trying to find the diagnosis and kind of fighting the condition that I've got, it wasn't healthy for me mentally. And so getting to the point where I just stopped medication and chopped my hair off, for me it was kind of a moment of, well, no hair, no problem, it's done. It's not something I'm going to think about anymore. And that's been absolutely the best thing for me. It may not be for everybody, but I don't think about my hair or my hair loss very often at all. Maybe once a month or every couple of months. It's not something that dominates my days or my life anymore. Great. Like it used to.
That's amazing. So tell me about the day that you first shaved your hair off. What was that like?
I'd kind of built up to it in a way. I'd kind of sowed the seed a little bit with some friends and some family that, you know, it was something I was probably going to do at some point in the future. But I came to kind of this critical point where I was graduating from university and I had a couple of job interviews lined up, and I thought, well, I don't want to deal with shaving my head just after accepting a role, or I didn't really want to take colleagues along kind of the journey with me, I guess. And I also wanted to be employed as I was without hair, without this being a factor at all. Yeah, I pretty much graduated and had those job interviews lined up the next week, and I was going to cut it myself, but I didn't have clippers. So I was looking to buy some. And then my mum actually mentioned that she had she'd been to a hairdresser who worked from home. And she said, oh, why don't you call this woman? She'll be able to do it for you. Called her up, had a bit of a chat about what was going on. And I think the next day I just booked in. Turned up, you know, did my makeup, put some massive earrings on so that I'd, I don't know, try to boost myself up for it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it didn't take long to cut it off. There wasn't very much left. We were just having a chat while it was coming away. I wasn't sure what I would do, if I would cry or anything. Honestly, the emotions just dropped away.
Wow.
I think I was a bit nervous before it, and as it was coming off, it was just like shedding all the problems I've had to deal with, all the stress, all the hiding was cleansed away, I guess, in that moment.
Wow. That's such a great description.
And I just laughed at the end because I hadn't gone to a hairdresser for some time. I was just trimming my hair myself at home because there wasn't much of it there. And I think, like a lot of us with hair loss, going to a hairdresser's isn't the most pleasant experience because you look around at everyone else's beautiful hair. And it was $10, and I looked at my wallet and I had coins. So I just paid, you know, $10 in coins, and it was honestly one of the best days of my life.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds like it was very liberating. A very liberating act to do.
It was. I think the thing with hair loss for me that I most struggled with, aside from the appearance and wanting to meet, you know, the beauty standards, it was trying to hide it. And, you know, the fear of people finding out or it just being noticed, not wanting it to be noticed. That was the biggest thing. So to be able to just be like, well, here it is, you know, this is what's happening, you know, be so open about it, that's allowed me to move on, I guess, as best as I can, because, you know, sometimes I do think, oh, gosh, you know, I wonder what my life would be if I didn't have, you know, the hair loss. But for the most part, it's something that I've been able to just be at peace with.
After that day when you shaved your hair off, how did you feel walking out in public?
I definitely felt a mix of emotions. So in some ways I felt like a complete badass. I felt like, you know, hey, I'm above beauty standards. I'm not part of that rat race anymore. Like, that felt really liberating. I did feel like, gosh, everyone's looking at me, you know, everyone's noticing me now, which was something that was very different because I spent so long just trying to hide into the background, and here I am looking, you know, pretty non-traditional with my short hair. So, you know, definitely attracting more attention, definitely noticed people doing a bit of a double take. But initially I kind of just owned it. I was like, this is me, you know, it felt really good. There's been times where I did, you know, notice someone, you know, just have a little glance up to my hair or my scalp, and I felt, oh, gosh, you know, like it would be nice not to have hair loss. But then at the same time I've definitely felt, well, maybe that's the first time someone has seen this, and the next time they see a woman with hair loss, they're not going to be looking so closely, or they won't, it won't, you know, catch their eye. I think as women, we've all gone down the path of trying to hide it, and, you know, we do a really good job largely at hiding it, but it's so common. And I do hope that if there are more women out there that are just allowing their hair loss to be viewed, either with long hair or, you know, shaved hair like mine, that it just becomes normalised, just like it is for men. It's not such a big deal, you know, for men. If they don't feel like their hair looks good, everyone just says, oh, just shave it off, no big deal. But for women, it does seem to be a bigger deal, and it doesn't have to be. I think that's what I feel.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I totally hear you, and thank you for making that point.
And it's become something that's not really emotional anymore. It's just a fact, just like any medical condition. It's just a fact that I've got this. It's not something I really tie emotions to like I used to.
Well, and you're not searching for solutions every day and worried about what people think, and all the mental load of carrying that sounds like it's gone for you. And apart from, as you said, the odd time, it's not something that needs to fill up your day. And there's so much that you can be, and, you know, frankly, you look great.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I know there are lots of women out there who would be worried about how they would look, but of course the happiness in your face and the relief shows through as well. It's amazing. So what would you say to other women So especially women who might be younger or might be thinking about shaving off their hair and owning their hair loss, what advice would you offer?
I guess firstly that you are more than your hair. Absolutely. Your value doesn't come from your hair. Your femininity doesn't come from your hair. Of course, hair is beautiful. You know, if I could have long luscious hair, I would. But I'm still feminine without hair.
Absolutely, you are.
There's a lot of benefits to come from cutting your hair if that's something that you're looking into. It is so quick to get ready in the morning. Driving in the car with the windows down, amazing. If it rains, it's like that used to be horrendous, you know, if it rained because it would show up, you know, everything. I think the day I actually had my hair cut, I had to run down to the shops and it rained and I kind of rushed through, but then I realized it wasn't a big deal. I just used my sleeve and just wiped the top of my head. It was great. It is going to be confronting for the people that know you well to see you, you know, in a different way. I ended up, I think it was a week after I cut it, I took a photo and I put it on Instagram and basically you just announced it that, you know, last week I did this thing that was a bit scary but really liberating and I have this condition that I can't cure, but I'm not going to spend my days being miserable about it, and I was moving on from it and that I was really happy about it as well. And I think that really helped just showing people that, if I could choose, I would have something different, but I'm fine. And then that meant that the people around me, for the most part, were just totally on board with it. Had a lot of support from friends and family.
Well, that's great. That's really good. And I think other women will be so glad to hear that, because that might be something worrying them and thinking about taking their hair off and worrying. So it's been absolutely a joy talking to you, just to hear your story and your lovely attitude and your beautiful personality, which shows through in the way you talk and in your beautiful smile. And just want to say thank you for sharing your story with me and with all those other women out there who will be very grateful to you as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Bambi. It's been amazing.
Wow. To hear Chelsea's confidence grow like that, isn't that amazing? And it's a real reminder that sometimes it's more about our attitude and how we view ourselves that really matters. But now, let's move on to a topic around something that most women do at one stage or other of their life, and that is dyeing our hair. Today's Did You Know is all about hair dye and hair dyeing. So I want to start by addressing a question I get asked so often. Does hair dye cause hair loss? Well, like most things to do with female hair loss, the answer isn't straightforward, so let's take a closer look. Firstly, most of the time hair dye doesn't cause female hair loss, so that's good to know. I'll get to why it may cause it in some cases in a minute, but let's start by looking at why it often isn't the source of the problem. So once your hair reaches the surface of the skin, it's actually already dead. So, as you know, hair grows from the follicle, and the follicle reaches deep down into the skin, and it's nourished by the bloodstream, which runs through underneath. So the hair follicle is alive, of course, but the hair, the strands that you see coming out of your head, well, not so much. For most people, the hair dye is just affecting the hair, and that's hair that's already dead, and so it doesn't contribute to hair loss. But for some people, and this is rare, but for some, hair dyes can, it's thought, perhaps penetrate the hair follicle itself, causing the follicle to die or to stop working properly. I've done quite a bit of reading up on this, and the general thinking is that there is some sort of allergy to some of the chemicals in hair dye. Now, that the chemical known as PPD, which stands for paraphenylenediamine, is known to cause dermatitis in some individuals, which then can lead to hair loss. And I've actually seen some examples of women with the most incredibly terrible dermatitis following using hair dye. So If that's what's happening to you, well, it's not really known why this happens to some people and not others, but obviously it's got something to do with allergies or a chemical reaction within an individual. So it is hard to know. But you'll, of course, know if you've had an allergic reaction, and that is the most common. So obviously, if you have an allergic reaction, you need to stop using that product. And then if you want to continue dyeing your hair, then you'll need to check the ingredients list of the products that you reacted to and then find an alternative that doesn't have some of those harsher chemicals, for example, like PPD. But that really is rare. However, there are more common issues to think about if you dye your hair and have hair loss, like what's the best colour to dye your hair? Well, if you lighten your hair can actually look thinner and it may break more easily because to lighten your hair, you have to strip some of the pigment and nutrient out of the hair, and that can make each strand slightly thinner and definitely can make it more brittle. So obviously, if your hair is breaking off, it will contribute to the overall reduction of hair, even if that follicle's still working well. So the answer might be to darken your hair. Well, that actually adds pigment to the hair shaft, and that can actually make your hair look thicker. So I've continued to dye my hair. I've had hair loss now for over 15 years. And I've had various types from alopecia areata to TE of various causes, and it's always grown back, and I've always continued to dye my hair. Now, in those years, I've used a combination of hair salon dyes, and my salon of choice has actually changed brands 3 times. So, and each time I've prayed that I didn't have any allergic reaction to the new type, and I didn't. But more commonly these days, I just use the box dyes from the supermarket. I find that the box dyes work just as well for me, and making my hair darker does make it look fuller. So, but of course, there are 2 sides to every story, and it must be said that if you have fair skin and you decide to dye your hair darker, it can make thinning hair more visibly noticeable because of the contrast of colours between your hair colour and your scalp. So this is especially true if you're losing your hair in patches and if you've got a wider part. But this is actually where cotton hair fibres come in really handy. So Boost and Blend can really make a big difference to hide that loss at the scalp so that you can't see the scalp through at all. Now, if you think that you might be someone who is affected by hair dyes, well, there are some options rather than not dyeing your hair altogether. You may want to find a salon that uses natural dyes, for example. This can be really good, actually, if you've got sensitive skin too. Another way to minimize the impact of hair dyeing is to start your hair dye away from the scalp. It's called off-scalp hair dyeing. So foils are a great example of off-scalp hair dyeing, really, because the hair dye doesn't have to come into contact with the scalp. Some people choose to dye their whole head of hair slightly away from the scalp. Of course, that'll inevitably mean that you might need to dye your hair more often because regrowth will be more visible more quickly, but it does help keep those harsh chemicals away from the hair follicle. I should still say that if you're one of those rare people who is allergic to hair dye, then this may not be the best option for you. You might have to just embrace the grey, as we say. I often get asked by women who, as a result of having hair loss, have decided to stop dyeing their hair. So maybe they haven't dyed their hair for a year or so, and then they'd like to start dyeing their hair again, and they're worried that should they? Is that the right thing to do if they've got hair loss? Would perhaps starting to dye your hair again cause further hair loss? And what I'd say to that is, firstly, you must do an allergic reaction test, especially for the box dyes. You must follow the instructions on the box, which is to do a test of the product on your arm or on the inside of your arm or somewhere 24 hours before you dye your hair. So you do know that you don't have an allergic reaction. So that's the first thing. And secondly, you can embrace that. You can dye your hair if you want to, particularly if maybe you've got a special occasion coming up and you think you'd really like to have your hair dyed for that. But I think in general, yes, it is okay. And the general thinking is that hair dye does not cause hair loss. But as I say, you know, You have to use your own knowledge of your own body, and you have to do things that are right for you, but follow the instructions. So there you have it, the ins and outs of hair dyeing for women with hair loss. That brings us to the end of another episode. As always, please remember any advice given is general in nature, and you should consult with your own health professionals for personal advice. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to leave a review if you have. I'll see you next time, and until then, kindness is beautiful, so wear it every day. Thanks for joining me on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. And a big thank you to the women who share their stories here and with others in their community. One of the hardest things about hair loss for women is that we don't talk about it. So if you do want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, why not leave a review? Positive reviews will help other women to find this podcast too. You can also find out more in my book, Hair Loss in Women. This podcast has been recorded in Sydney, Australia, and is produced by Pod and Pen Productions.